Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascoe along with Wells Guthrie. Hoping everybody out there is having a fabulous, fabulous Friday. And I know this guy is Ralph Potter, the head football coach of the McCauley Blue Tornado. We had Ralph on last year, and I remember him saying when he won the first one in 2001, you had the feeling, hey, it wouldn't be too much longer before you come back again, and there was that 18-year gap. So I know the fact that there's only a 12-month gap, this one's got to feel pretty special. Ralph, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it does feel special. And, especially not even knowing whether we're going to have a season or not, whether these guys will get to play, was something that was so worrisome. So it's a really special event for these guys.
And I know it has been a wacky 2020 for you and your program, and I want to get to that. But if I had pulled up to you on the street before Labor Day and said, hey, Ralph, you're going to get to play 8 regular season games, and you're going to win 5 of them. And then I drove off and then stopped again real quick and turned out and yelled out of the car, and you're going to win the state championship 44-0, and kept driving off. You'd have thought that was the weirdest thing you'd ever experienced.
Yeah, probably so. It does seem kind of weird, but when you live through it, it's a little bit different. We thought at the beginning of the season that, if we could stay healthy, that we had a chance, because we had, people like Eric and Aaron Crowder and PJ and JD Tessman, all these guys that had played last year. And we felt like that, if we could develop some other guys, that we had a chance at it. We lost the BA game early, and really hadn't been able to practice because we were quarantined. We lost by 3 and really felt pretty good about it because we found out a lot about our team and we knew we were going to get a lot better. And then by midseason around the Baylor game, we really felt like that we had kind of arrived, that mm-hmm. we were a really, really good team. And in that one, the first half against Baylor, we had 4 guys get hurt, and 3 of them, all of them major players, and 3 of them were, season-ending injuries. And the other one was Eric Rivers, and we thought at that time it was season-ending. And that makes you just a really different team. And you go from being a really good team in high school football, you just don't have the depth, So you go from being a really good team to being average really quick. And I think that one of the things that impressed me the most about our guys is even when we had that little dip against Father of Mine and the Life Christian game, they had some unusually good athletes. But, those 2 games when we were losing and we squeaked by Ensworth, the guys never changed. I mean, they continued to play really hard, practice hard. They never got discouraged. They never got down. And there was no guarantee at that point that we were going to get Eric back, for the playoffs. And then for a week as we prepared for Christian Brothers, the first week of the playoffs, it didn't look like we were going to have him. Then Monday of the week that we played Christian Brothers, he got cleared. And boy, I mean, he came out there, and the day he came out there, it was just like, man, maybe we've got a shot at this. And because it's not just Eric, but his skill set mixes with our other guys on offense to the degree that we're really sort of a different sort of team with him. And defensively, we can do more things because he is such a good man coverage guy. So, yeah, getting him back was a big key. And when you added that mix into just the great senior leadership we had and the positive culture on the team, we played 3 really great ball games in the playoffs.
You're listening to McCauley School Coach Ralph Potter, who won his 3rd state championship and his 2nd in 2 years with last night's 44-0 whipping of MUS. I want to backtrack because you basically packed an entire season's worth of stuff into, before you even kicked off. I mean, you had the passionate social media post in July. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, August, I guess you basically missed half of that month. I mean, I think you had a double-digit number of positive mm-hmm. tests and quarantined for 14 days. Ralph, I'm really curious, what was your message to the players during those 14 days, and how much did you even believe it? I mean, there was so much uncertainty whether this season could even lift off.
Yeah, and, you know, and we had begun to wonder even as a school, you know, with our experience in that camp about, you know, can we even have school? And and so I do think that we learned a lot from those experiences, and I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, we've done some things that have, you know, kept our cases really low. And so it turned out, I suppose, to be sort of a good thing in that way. But at the time, man, it was pretty nerve-wracking. I've never been through, I think, you know, we were quarantined right from the third and fourth week of practice or something like this, right when you really get going and are getting ready to play. And we went into our first game against Knoxville Webb with no practice. I mean, we came back on that Monday after a 2 week break, when all you did was Zoom calls, you know, and hopefully they did a little bit on their own. You know, we had to do some physical conditioning just to kind of see where they were physically. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, so we practiced a couple of days and played against Webb. And the next week we played Brentwood Academy. So it was a really unusual thing because, you know, there's so many things personnel-wise that, you know, the preseason sort of shakes out for you that we didn't have an opportunity to go through. So it took us probably, I want to say, you know, 3 or 4 games just to, you know, be like we would have been in weeks, you know, 1 or 2. And so that was a really unusual thing. But then right when we thought we had everything situated, you know, we had 4 guys go down. And that was, you know, devastating. It's almost like we had to start all over again.
I want to ask about that moment, too, because, I mean, you win a state championship last year. There's no doubt, I mean, once you taste that and once you've got the nucleus like you had coming back or the guys that you had coming back, I mean, that is obviously the goal at the end of the line. But when you had the situation with guys going down against Baylor and then you had that 31-7 loss at Father Ryan, how much I mean, was a state title talk something that y'all talked about in the preseason? And once that Father Ryan game happened and you felt like you were kind of having to start from square one, did you kind of just have to push that kind of talk to the side about any kind of state title dreams?
Well, you know, I think our guys always had the goal. I mean, that's what you go out there, that's your objective, is to get to the state title game and win it. But it's not something you really talk about every day. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, because you always have a game that week. And so you're talking about the game that week and what you have to do to win the game that week. And so I think that's what our guys focused on. You know, they didn't look too far ahead and they didn't say, oh, gosh, you know, we don't have a chance or anything like that. I mean, you know, I think they just have really good habits, you know, mentally and physically that they continue to do. And I think it was more like that.
Eric Rivers, I mean, we all know what B.J. Harris is going to do. I mean, he's got a scholarship to Missouri to be a running back. What position do you think will be the most natural fit for Eric, who just seems like such a Swiss Army knife for you?
Yeah, in high school, he really is. You know, the thing about Eric is he's just an athlete. And he's one of those guys. He actually reminds me of Joel Bradford, who calls plays for us. I mean, he's that kind of versatile athlete. And you know, he's also small like Joel. I mean, he's not very big in terms. I'm thinking he only is about 155, 160, something like that. And so that's you know, sort of a conundrum of what you do with him. But you know, to me, I think he is a returner. He's a split end,
All right. Most coaches don't have such a selection from which to choose, but you had a game against Baylor where you had a 26-0 first half. And then you had a game at Brentwood Academy where you go up there and build a 28-10 lead over an undefeated team. And then you had a 44-0 state championship. And I know in talking with Stephen Hargis, he did say MUS got beat up just a little bit in their semifinal game. But if I had to ask you, I mean, those were three really dominant performances. Was there a best game that you guys played? Did you save your best for last, or was it against Baylor Brentwood?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think in all three of those, you know, we played really great football, especially in the first half against Baylor. But I would say, honestly, if I had to pick one, it would probably be the Brentwood Academy game, because I think they were the best team, and I think that, you know, that was, you know, a really great win. You know, when I look back on it, you know, the thing about that win is that when you win a game like that, you really like to kind of reminisce about it and enjoy it. And I didn't allow myself or anybody to think 1 minute about that, you know, game. I mean, because you know, that just, I don't know, it just makes you weak. I mean, it all goes for naught if you don't win the last one, you know. And so, you know, I think now we'll all take time, and when we really think about it, we'll look back on that Brentwood Academy game as probably the greatest performance that we had.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I know a lot of thoughts had to have been going through your mind in the last 24 hours, or not even that, when you consider what all y'all have been through since your social media post in July. But I'll have to be honest with you, Ralph. One of the things I thought of last night was how you grew up the son of a Chattanooga coaching legend. And when you think about just the last few weeks in this community, to lose a Clifford Kirk, to lose a Catherine Neely, it is just so nice that we get something to celebrate with what you guys did and the run you guys did, and like hopefully South Pittsburgh and Meigs County can continue it. But just a remarkable run, and I just think it's really neat that, given after some disappointing news we got here, we get to celebrate something really good.
Well, yeah, and I hope everybody, you know, it does feel like that. And, you know, we're pulling for the other teams in the games over the next couple of days. And, you know, I think it is good for Chattanooga and for Hamilton County. And, you know, it's almost like we're the little brother down here, you know. So it's a good thing for us to go on, you know, compete against teams, you know, from bigger cities, and do well. Yeah, that's great.
Well, listen, Ralph, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations again, and congratulations to all what your kids accomplished, and we thank you so much for joining us here on Press Row.
Thank you. I appreciate it, David.
Absolutely. Ralph Potter, the coach, now the three-time state championship coach of the McCauley Blue Tornado. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.